And welcome back, everybody, to Keeping It True by You, LSU Tigers. The Tigers win the Baton Rouge Regional after a thrilling three games against Little Rock, Arkansas, and, of course, one against Dallas Baptist University as you take the Baton Rouge Regional over the course of this weekend. And you are now set to face West Virginia in a Super Regional matchup at the Box coming up this next weekend. This episode, of course, we're going to go ahead and start with a initial recap. We'll then move into some things to take away from this particular regional and then what we know so far about West Virginia. Of course, this is your first time checking everything out with us. This is Keeping It True by You, LSU Tigers, where we bring you the best from everything going around on campus and surrounding your LSU Tigers. So the weekend started, obviously, on a very high note. You play a four seed in Little Rock, Arkansas. You beat them 7-0. I think that game was pretty straightforward, but, you know, initially you just feel very good about where you were after that one. Of course, in that performance, you saw Anthony Ianson go and pitch 7 2/3 innings in very dominant baseball, followed up by continued closeout performances from Primo and Rizzi, and you felt really good about that. You know, everybody generally had a decent day. You didn't really have any particular what you felt like were major deficits in the roster. Obviously, the offense could have been a little bit more prophetic whenever it came to that first game in the regional, but you know, at the end of the day, you were satisfied with a 7-0 victory. You took care of business, and it felt like it was over before it started. And that is something that you then really kind of, you know, felt like you had set up for you going into the rest of the weekend, until all of a sudden, you know, after you beat Little Rock, they come back, they beat Rhode Island 22-10, and that kind of raises an eyebrow. But you follow it up with beating Dallas Baptist handily, 12-0, and you feel like you're really on fire now. Cade Anderson gives you another 7-inning performance, and you know, you feel really good. You're again not taxing your bullpen with William Schmidt being the heaviest arm that you had to throw out of the bullpen at a single inning. So you feel like, okay, this isn't too bad. This really isn't too bad. But then, once you finally get back around to play your championship game, and you have, obviously, you know, the team in Little Rock, we're not going to talk about all the things that ESPN just killed your ears with continuously for 4 days straight about Little Rock, so we're not going to talk about how they were 27-33 and they had to fight, you know, with all that happened. But that's when I think things kind of initially start shaking you as a fan, is whenever you're like, okay, is the bullpen ready? It's now time. There's no longer a backup. There's no longer a way out of this. The bullpen has to perform. And honestly, a lot of people felt very uncomfortable after night one. You know, some very good efforts, but it came up short, and Little Rock was hitting the ball all over the place. You know, their player Cano, who ended up winning the MVP of the regional, was playing absolutely lights out. No challenge, really, as far as a, you know, defensive performance. And then you're overall just not cashing in on opportunities, which, you know, leaves a bitter taste in your mouth when you have 7 hits and only 4 runs. And somehow that's not enough to get you even close to competing, particularly with when Little Rock was able to put up those 4 on that Sunday performance. And then, you know, you have to say, okay, I only have 2 guys. I saved my 2 best guys. Let's go win a game on Monday. And, you know, this game 7 of this regional is always, I think, a reason why we love baseball, why we love baseball in the Box in, you know, this late May, early June time frame. You know, people say the Alec Box magic. People say that it's, you know, dude's the best fans, you know, and it's, I think it's a mixture of all of it. You really take a look at what you had, and you obviously start the game with a solo home run, and everybody's feeling really good. It's like, okay, we're ready to go. You know, Ethan Frye takes care of business. We're going to show them why we beat them 7-0 on Friday. And then they go and put up 5 in the second inning. And now all of a sudden you're having flashbacks to yesterday. You have Zach Cowan, who's supposedly, you know, with the transfer status, somebody who should be capable of throwing a very strong pitching performance. It's not his best stuff that day. He gets touched up, and you only get an inning and a third out of him. And, you know, when the bullpen, while not depleted, is, you know, your solid rotation is a little bit used up, you kind of have to start scratching your head, and you say, okay, well, we know we got one more guy. If it's not going to be him, who knows? You know, if it's not Case and Evans, who knows? But Case and Evans goes out there and throws a 12 strikeout performance and absolutely shuts the door on him. And that is where I think you get the performances that live up to the stadium, that live up to the billing, that live up to the moment. And to see what the offense would later do, I think Luis Hernandez played an amazing series. It's good to see Bear Jones finally get back into his form a little bit right here in Game 7 with the home run. And then, you know, your other players between Fry, Dickinson, Brown to a degree, a very strong weekend as well from Chris Stanfield, as well as Milam. If you put those all together, that's your core, and that's a core that can do major damage when it comes to, you know, getting out of the regional, getting into these situations where it's going to be, we win now or we're going home. And that's exactly what you wanted to see. So overall, very exciting weekend, very exciting set of games of baseball. All the credit in the world to Little Rock, Arkansas, you know, put in a effort that, you know, got them there all the way into the late innings of that game. Really can't say anything more than just a hats off to them. Really a strong performance. And who knows, I think that's a center fielder that they had really showed up tonight and put in a performance that says that Jay Johnson might need to open a transfer portal spot. But nevertheless, that was the regional, and you win it. You, of course, have to go to a Game 7, and due to NCAA rules, you somehow end up playing back-to-back away games in your home stadium, which I think, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that you now get to stay in your own dugout and it was really like the old days, it would be kind of a joke, but, you know, to a degree, I can live with batting first, I guess. So, again, LSU regional champs. You learned on Sunday that you would be tied up with the Clemson regional where they were defeated, and you now are up against West Virginia. And, of course, we'll get into that. We'll talk a little bit more about what you'll see coming up. But just a few more key takeaways from this regional. Of course, after I appease the algorithm and I ask you all, of course, don't forget, if you are over on YouTube, we appreciate you so much being there. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Everywhere else, of course, I see you TikTok. I see you on the podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you like to listen. Don't forget also TrueBayouMedia.com. We, of course, have every single episode there. If you go down to the bottom, hit the sports tab, and then that'll pull up all of our shows and get you the latest from each and every sport and episode that you might be concerned with. And you can, of course, subscribe as well as watch the videos from that platform. So don't forget, likes go a long way, shares go even further, and a comment just lets us get to know each other a little more. Of course, don't forget, guys, we appreciate all the support. And now back to the regional as we kind of take a few last takes. I think one thing that was critical, and you didn't do it perfectly, but it's in a position to where it wouldn't hurt you, really. You feel like the bullpen is in decent shape after these four games. And that's always a concern when you're playing postseason baseball. Are you going to be not in a situation where you're having to go deep? You're not having to go rely on freshmen or guys who maybe haven't pitched in, you know, 10 days. You never want to really see anybody get thrown into that all of a sudden. DJ Primo throws a total of 2/3 of an inning this weekend, so he should be fresh no matter if LSU will start on Saturday or if they will start on Friday. That will be known Tuesday evening after the NCAA releases all of that. Of course, Cade Anderson on Saturday goes 7 innings. You have to imagine he is fresh for Friday or Saturday, depending on whatever they would need. Sunday, of course, if that's whenever Jay chooses to throw him. So Jacob Myers throws 2/3 on Saturday and then comes back on Sunday, throws another inning and a third. So you have to imagine he would be good to go. Really, the only person I think you have to kind of be watching for if it is a Friday start would be Cooper Williams, who put in 3 2/3 innings right at about 52 pitches, which, you know, shouldn't be too bad on the arm, but you do want to watch out for it. And then, of course, Anthony Ianson, who came back as well as Cason Evans and came and closed out the game for you, got the save on 2 days rest. And Cason Evans, who throws 109, you have to imagine that he will probably not be available until Saturday at the earliest, but I could see it potentially being a situation where he could come in on Friday if it was for, you know, maybe 2/3 of an inning, something under 20 pitches, something along those lines. And that's one thing to think about, you know. Once you get to the postseason, it's really more of a 5-day rotation, which, you know, obviously requires the stamina, the endurance. You have to be ready. And I feel as though with the depth of this pitching roster, although a lot of people will just say, oh, you only have two aces and then nothing else, I feel like that's so far from the truth. Particularly someone like Cason Evans, who had the potential to start some Sundays, to start some midweeks, you know, he played that role to a degree during the regular season, and you saw that his performance lived up to it. It's so different in today's baseball, where you have the opportunity to sort of throw these bullpen games, and it's not a major impact like it would have been, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago. A little bit more used to it are the guys, but yeah, it's going to be really exciting to see what comes when you get to that super regional. So as we transition here, let's go ahead and change. We'll take a first look at West Virginia, then we'll wrap up the episode. Of course, thank you all for watching. We do appreciate you after LSU comes and secures a 10-6 comeback and defeats Little Rock, Arkansas to advance the Super Regionals. And in that matchup against West Virginia, LSU opens, and they open on DraftKings, where the line is provided today. So very early, this is being recorded post-game on, of course, now Tuesday morning. So they open as -400 favorites to win the Super. And some things to note about West Virginia here. They are regular season Big 12 champions, had a very strong season. They were 23-5 on the road. So a team that is very accustomed to going into road environments. Of course, I don't really think there is any road environment that is quite comparable to Alec Box on a Saturday night in June. So good luck to West Virginia. It will be a bit of a culture shock for sure. And one thing to note here, I think if we looked at our initial thoughts, didn't have time to put the episode out, but, you know, DBU was 8 spots higher in the RPI than West Virginia. So it kind of raises the question, you know, DBU got eliminated, and obviously, again, shout out to Little Rock taking care of them in the elimination game whenever the time came. You now get ready for a team in West Virginia that has been playing hot. Don't get me wrong. You know, they take care of business against Kentucky in their first game. They then go and defeat Clemson 9-6 and then take care of things on Sunday. So only 3 games played for them, so they're going to be slightly fresher than LSU. But overall, you know, to go and beat somebody in their regional, it's a team that's very competitive. It's a team that is very ready to go out there and play. I think it's going to be a great matchup in the box. Of course, we will provide a full preview as we get a little bit closer. I believe that should most likely either come out as a true Bayou Sports Media primetime episode or another Keeping It True Bayou LSU Tigers. We'll kind of see how the week plays out, see what we want to do with that. But a lot to look forward to, a lot of fun on the way. Thank you all again for watching. And, of course, don't forget, like, subscribe, comment, and share. Appreciate it all. Appreciate you all. That's Big Go Tigers, and we'll see you as we get ready for Super Regional play. Thanks, everybody.
This has been a True Bayou Media production. This show is for entertainment purposes only and does not render legal or financial advice. Remember to bet responsibly. Distribution of this podcast is prohibited without the express written consent of True Bayou Media or its subsidiaries. Thanks for being true by us. We can't wait until next time we keep it true by you.